Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Shao Kahn.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to what will surely be the deadliest week in show history. Or will it? It's the second week of our summer blockbuster extravaganza, where we're tackling 1995's Mortal Kombat, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
It'll be the deadliest, but not bloodiest, because there's not a drop of blood in this entire movie.
How on earth do you do that? Like, this isn't even like, oh, we want to get a PG-13 rating, so we're like, keep it clean. This is like squeaky clean.
Like, 80% of that video game is me looking at blood. Like, I should see blood in the movie.
Yeah, like, you're not going to this movie if you don't already know what Mortal Kombat is.
There should be a PG-16, I feel. Like, this would be, like, PG-13, it's all the same restrictions. PG-16, it's super violent, but there's blood, too. You know what I mean? Like, let's break these out a bit.
Maybe get
two fucks and a finger diddle.
Whoa!
Possibly.
No, you're just talking R, man.
No, an implied finger diddle.
But then 16, what's the difference to 17? You're already there. That's why it's stupid. Yeah. That's why rating systems are stupid. Just make this Mortal Kombat movie have blood in it. That's all. What a fucking failure. Like, already, you're a failure.
Or, you know, pixelized blood would work, too. Just put in a bunch of 8-bit graphics and you're fine.
And it's not even like...
16 bits, by the way.
Oh.
We were there.
I apologize.
We had gotten there.
Yeah.
The Jaguar didn't come out yet. I think that was like 64 or 32.
You're right. It really would take at least 16 bits to capture that toasty guy.
Noob Saibot, you mean?
Oh, is that what that guy
is?
Noob Saibot was the toasty guy?
I think it started out that way, and then he turned into another character.
He was just another one
of
the...
He was a guy that pops on screen, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. There's Ed Tobias and somebody Boone.
So the guy that pops up and yells shit eventually donned ninja garb and went all black and entered the game himself.
Yes. He got very Tron, is what happened.
Oh, shit. I guess he fights for the user.
Yeah, I feel like Mortal Kombat is the game that I don't want to Tron myself into.
No, not at all. No.
Baraka would fucking cut me like a Christmas turkey. You know what I mean? Like,
we'd all be dead in seconds. There's no two ways about it. You'd have to, if we all got sucked into Mortal Kombat a la Tron, it would be like Scorpion versus We Hate Movies. Like, it couldn't be Scorpion versus Steve.
No.
Like, we would need all four of us, and honestly, anyone else who's ever been on the show, to fight one person.
Now I'm imagining like Chris Cabin like crawling behind Scorpion so we could push him over, and then Scorpion setting him on fire.
I mean, if I got sucked into that game, I think I would have to like get those like parachute pants and like get like that like, I don't know, that turban hoodie or whatever these people, you know, the background character.
Yeah.
I would like to be a guy in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love
like,
to be a
like
background
cheering
character.
It on, like, you know, I'm like a sort of, you know, I'm a regular outworldly dude.
Yeah, totally. Now, can I just say before we get into this, because listen, everybody, we're talking about the Mortal Kombat movie today. The Mortal Kombat movie. The movie that they made out of Mortal Kombat. If you like it, that's great. You know what the cool thing is? After this episode's over, you're still totally allowed to like the Mortal Kombat movie. But for the next few minutes, we're going to make fun of it because we have found some things that we find wrong, sad, and humorous about the Mortal Kombat movie. But I can assure you, we're not going to go into your house and steal your Blu-ray copy away from you.
No.
So sit back. Let's everybody enjoy us making fun of Mortal Kombat, the movie.
I'm just imagining Jerry Seinfeld doing a bit about like airline food. And so he's like, hey, I like airline food.
No, that cold chicken's great. Hey. So
I find banking very convenient.
I never had a problem getting a cab. So right away, from the New Line Cinema logo, they are not fucking around with this movie. This theme song kicks right into high gear. The first sounds you hear in this movie are this.
Mortal Kombat!
Oh, delicious, that song.
Has there ever been a movie, ever, other than this one, that started before the credits screaming its own title?
Back to the Future! Ooh, 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 ooh. No.
Shattered Glass!
12 Years a Slave!
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I mean,
Jaws!
You know, Star Wars almost doesn't. It's a silent though. It's right in your face and it shoots at.
Yeah, that's probably the closest, right? John Williams screams with an orchestra and then blammo, Star Wars right at the same time.
I'll tell you, John Williams does not know how to whisper with an orchestra, that's for sure. it's all top volume.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't know what a crescendo is because he's already at the top. Time and time again.
Yeah. Actually, John, could you only make crescendos?
I think the score to the original trilogy would be much better if it was just crescendos.
And Sebulba is available for the clarinet. He's good at the clarinet, John.
Now, this Duel of the Fates is great and all, but you could have Sebulba singing those, doing the chorus.
He is a trained opera singer, John. Sebulba has pipes, you know.
He doesn't have legs, but he has pipes.
So the major problem with making Mortal Kombat into a movie is that movies have to have stories. That's what we're dealing with here. I mean, it's the same shit with Street Fighter, right? But, I mean, I feel like Mortal Kombat has, the game, even less of a story. It's like you pick your person and you fight your way up to the top of the chart of people you have to fight.
I will say that I think that I like Mortal Kombat much better than Street Fighter as a movie. I like Street Fighter better as a game for anyone that ever gave a shit, which is zero. but I think that specifically this movie doesn't try and overthink itself. It's like, what's the game about? Bunch of weird people fighting each other, huh? All right, cool, got that.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Like, there in Street Fighter, we've got this whole, like, fake nation, Raul Julia's making his own money.
You get the fake UN involved. Exactly. That is way too much for a game about punching people.
Exactly.
Well, this invents Outworld.
Outworld's part of the story there.
Yeah. Is it?
The
they story. Say it?
Yeah, they say Outworld.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Shao Kahn's the emperor.
But is it like what? There. You got to read that on the back of the box?
You got to read the booklet, man. You're not reading
the
booklet?
I never did that shit. But I guess that's why I didn't know what Outworld was.
You only got half the story. You only got the you only got the punching part.
I only got the punching. I didn't get the rich political drama about Emperor Shao Kahn.
Yeah, it's pretty riveting, I have to say. You know? You would have known all about Shang Tsung.
Right. Well, but that's I feel like this is not unusual for video game movies. The idea of the world where the video game is set breaking into our world, because Mario Brothers does the same thing.
Mario Brothers is a movie that really overthinks what it's trying to do. Like, it's
absolutely
about, an Italian guy jumping on fucking turtles' heads, and they're like, "Well, I guess if it's about an alternate past where reptiles became human, etc., and like we're dancing and we're doing all sorts of things, there's rocket boots."
You know what? I have to say that movie was probably a lot of fun to write.
Yeah. You know, oh yeah, because you're doing so many actual mushrooms.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like you're just sinking into that couch writing the Mario Brothers movie.
Couple one-ups. Now we're talking.
Exactly. Yeah, these dumbass things have to be fun to write. Yeah, but you're right though. Making them, it's probably constant torture. But I feel like I don't know. Mario Brothers is like you had real actors in that movie.
Yeah.
The closest you're coming here is Christopher Lambert, and that's a stretch and a half.
That is the closest.
Like, the dude who plays Liu Kang was in, Beverly Hills Ninja?
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat 2? I mean, he's kind of been around.
I read that he's in those Death Race remakes.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, good for him.
Was it Jason Statham's in one of them?
Yeah. I think he's in the nothing straight to streaming sequels, I guess.
Is that what we have to say now, by the way, is straight to streaming?
I think it's going to go that way eventually, right?
Oof.
I'm going to say straight to video until the day I die.
You have to. We got to keep that alive, no matter what the format. When it's getting beamed directly into our heads, it's still straight to video.
Straight to cerebellum. There, I mean, I followed, I mean, I really, I was a big Mortal Kombat head as a kid.
So was I.
I was super into this game. I was super into this movie for a really long time, and I followed the career of Lyndon Ashby for far too long.
That's Whoa. Johnny Cage.
That's Johnny Cage. I kept expecting, like, him to break out. I was like, oh, man, sooner or later, he's going to play the Green Lantern. And, like, nope.
I think he finally broke out just recently. I read that he's on that Teen Wolf show.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's right. Good for him. I mean, he's not bad in this movie.
He's kind of the best part of the
movie.
He's
doing exactly what he has to be doing, like playing like a douchey movie star.
Robin Shu, on the other hand, the guy who plays Liu Kang, is an atrocious actor.
He's real. I mean, he's an excellent athlete.
Yeah.
He's fucking gorgeous. Or look at Liu Kang with his shirt off.
Yeah.
But my lord, the acting. It's just not. I mean, you're trying to turn fighters. You're trying to turn fighters into actors, and you can't have your cake and eat it too with these people.
Liu Kang kind of lives the life that I always wanted, which is, for some reason, I was raised in a Shaolin monk. As a Shaolin monk,
right?
I know all the karates,
uh-huh.
And then I break off,
yeah.
And I've got a pretty sweet apartment.
He
you know,
does
like,
have a
he's
sweet
got a
fucking pad.
The one scene you see, he's got, like, and then you always have to like go back and settle old scores.
Ooh, yeah.
You're kind of independently wealthy for no good reason.
Well, it's all the fights you're winning. Like that's all
also,
tournament money.
Yeah, and you don't have to split any family money because your brother's soul has been swallowed by a sorcerer.
Yeah, that cuts down on living cost.
Very important turning point in the life of Liu Kang.
Yeah. I mean, 30 seconds in, this dude's neck is getting broken.
It's like, oh, you know, I'm just going to leave Asia for a while. I'm going to get an apartment in America.
Even know who Liu Kang is in the beginning. You see an Asian guy fighting who you know is Shao Tsung. Like, Shang Tsung, you know exactly who he is.
Yeah.
Because he's the bad guy. You're like, all right, hey, Liu Kang. Oh no.
Oh, no. What's that? Shang Tsung's fighting a child? Because, like, Liu Kang, what's the actor's name?
Robin Shu.
Robin Shu's, like, clearly in his late 20s.
Yeah.
You know, possibly 30 while they're making this movie. Maybe a little older. So it's not Liu Kang. Like, you know it's not Liu Kang. And if it is, it's like baby Liu Kang. This is a child that Shang Tsung is beating the shit out of at the start of this movie. And you're like, what did I just walk into? Like a fucking Chinese This Boy's Life? Like,
or is this a Chuck E. Cheese?
This is a weird Chuck E. Cheese.
You're out of tokens. I'm going to take your soul. Chuck E. wants your soul. Chuck E. wants your soul.
You know, I thought I'd be killed by robots, not sorcerers.
So he wakes up. It's a nightmare. He's remembering. I guess like he has a weird nightmare how he knows how his brother was killed.
Yeah, I don't think it's. He's not remembering it. No. Like that, it just happened.
Can we talk about how green it is in his apartment for no reason? Like, is it. Where is he necessarily?
Maybe
is he
he's
in a
living
rainforest?
Is rainforest? Like, I was going to say he's living in Vegas. He's like right outside a neon sign. Right, they do prize fighting in Vegas.
Yeah.
Maybe he's out there.
That makes
know.
Sense.
Like, you know, what's that movie?
Best of the Best 2.
Yeah. Maybe it's that.
Maybe it is that.
Maybe he works with that. Maybe he hangs out with Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Chris Penn.
Yeah.
They're selling all sorts of old scores in that movie.
Yeah.
Go back to the old country. It's so cool to have been raised by Shaolin monks. You're always in great shape.
Oh, yeah, you're never not just the littlest bit overweight.
They don't even know one. They don't know word one from Doritos. But like, I feel like if there was a world in which I was raised on a continent that didn't know what Doritos were, it would be a whole different world.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like an underwear model. like, or a prize fighter, like one or the other. But either way, you're definitely not eating Doritos.
Or I'd have self-respect, like one or the other. But like, I would not know what Doritos
are. Here's the thing is, like, you get raised by the Shaolins, you're not leaving. And if you do leave, you're not coming back, ever. You're never seeing them. I feel like it's an Amish type of thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's like when you're gone, you're gone. And that's why when he comes back, he's like, I'm here to revenge my brother's murder. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you're not, what are you talking about? You left.
Step three in this story that I love, he's got a pretty great leather jacket on. Like a little too big for your leather jacket. You get that on the outside is the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he comes back into the monastery wearing all sorts of fancy America clothes.
Yeah. He's wearing leather. He must know what a Dorita chip is.
The old wise monk grabs his hand and sees like little cheese stuck to it. He's like, you are not welcome here anymore.
He is lost forever. So that's our introduction to Liu Kang. Then we're introduced to Sonya Blade and the unfortunately little used Jax in this movie. The Jax problem in this movie is astounding to me. They basically take Jax, who's a classic Mortal Kombat character, starting with Mortal Kombat 2. This is like the third game was about to come out, so this movie features characters from the first two games.
Yes.
And like eventually, like, yeah, we have to go to the Outworld on a scary boat, and we just trade Jax for another guy that's not a character in the game.
His name's Art.
His name, yeah, that, for no reason.
I'll tell you the reason. Up that body count.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Someone's got a...
But it's Mortal Kombat. I've killed all of these characters 1,000 times. Have the scrote to kill actual Mortal Kombat characters.
It would be great, but they don't have the scrote. That's the real issue here. Mm.
So
I see.
Sonya and Jax are tracking Kano at a rock concert who knows what.
It's a rock concert slash villain lair.
Yeah.
I think it's owned and operated by Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
Shang Tsung's metal club.
And like, people are like going nuts for metal. Sonya and her team are infiltrating this club mid-concert. They're like pushing past teens with shotguns. And everyone's like, all right.
Everybody is so into the moshing at this metal show. They don't even flinch when she starts firing off an assault rifle and killing people in this club.
The pyrotechnics.
Wow, they're taking the stage show to the floor. It's outrageous. She's just blowing dudes away.
And this is when we get introduced to a very rapey turn for Kano. Like, he is a creep and a half, man. He is all over this performance.
He kind of reminded me of Russell Crowe.
The guy kind of looks like Russell Crowe, and he's doing an Australian accent.
Yeah.
So that helps.
He's always like licking his lips and just sweating.
And just eating greasy food, so he always has to have his fingers in his mouth.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It gets to you. And he also has a cyborg eye, which you want.
Yeah.
Which you definitely don't want to explain. Like,
No,
you don't, because all I'm thinking is Terminator.
If you're a parent in this movie, which you had to have been, like, you know, you take your kids to Mortal Kombat, your little fat kids want to watch their fat video game. So you did. So you take them, you're like, all right, fine, fatty. We'll get fucking McDonald's afterwards.
My parents had better sense. They just dropped me off for this one.
They're sitting with you, and like, at that point, when you see a cyborg eye, and the movie makes no attempt to like justify it or tell you what's going on, you're like, ah, fuck, this isn't for me, and you just start tuning out.
Well, oh,
like,
yeah.
How? Because it's like, it's part of the video game, but how would they explain it in the script? You know, like, or you just have a one-off line, like, crikey, got this eye here from all those blimey crimes I did.
Exposition complete. Flawless victory.
I remember last year when a time traveler from the future took me eye and put this cyborg eye in there. It was a weird turn.
Yeah, you know, that is probably like a future mob doctor would do that.
What I realized the first time I saw this movie, and I have not seen this movie since I saw it in the theaters in 1995, but both times I had that question of like when you were just playing the game, and I guess maybe it's in the booklet and I just missed it.
Idiot.
But like, in the game, I never distinguished like who was an evil person and who was a good guy. Like,
I think I did a little bit. Like, there's some that are obvious, right? Liu Kang, Johnny Cage.
But why?
Because they resemble human beings.
Yeah, that's true. They're not a centaur or a fucking...
Well, those clearly...
Or an evil, you know, spear-chucking ninja.
Well, those clearly, right? Like, yes. But, like, Kano,
yeah.
Who knows? Just because what?
That's
just because,
true,
just because he's disabled and only has one eye that he can see out of, he's a villain.
You could have made Kano a Han Solo-esque rogue.
You, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah. Like, that's what I was curious. Like, this movie's just making these choices. Like, okay, Kano's a weird, rapey bounty hunter guy.
But no, in the book, in the booklet, it tells you.
Please
very
don't say in the book.
In the novelization of Mortal Kombat, the video game that predated the movie.
Yeah. written by Tom Wolfe.
How about both of them?
Yes. First draft, second draft.
No, honestly, a believable writer's name for someone who would write that is someone named Dean Wolfe. So that works out.
Or Peter David.
The latest novel by Dean Wolfe.
I'm going to use that as my gnome de plume. So you were saying.
They explicitly say that both that Sonya's a cop, that she does chase after Kano, who killed such and such, and there's a blood feud going on. That's like, okay. That's what I'm saying. This movie doesn't invent a lot. Really just take.
Sorry,
somebody read the Mortal Kombat
now.
Booklet and made a script out of
it. In the booklet, is that why Stryker shows up in those future games?
Oh, yeah. Is he like.
He's like the next cop assigned the case?
Stryker, I loved playing as Stryker because just, you know, that guy was a moody asshole.
Oh, yeah.
He had a nightstick, a gun, and bicycle shorts for no reason.
Yeah.
No, he had pants on.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like cargo pants.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true. Definitely had cargo pants. And he just hucked grenades.
That's
all
a
the
guy.
Time.
Yeah, he's like right before his Mortal Kombat fight happens. He's just drinking black coffee in the locker room, just not having anything.
Well, he's the only guy with fucking the sense to bring grenades to Mortal Kombat. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they never specify what you can and can't take into the outworld.
Well, he's smart, right? Yeah. He probably observed the game and was like, all right, well, these robots in Mortal Kombat 3 have grenades. I guess I should bring some.
I have no idea how people are shooting fireballs out of their hands. So I guess no one would really bat an eye if I brought a grenade or two.
The least I could do is carry some pepper spray and take this baton with me into the outworld.
Do you think that now Outworld's a totally different type of world, so they don't really—they're not really aware of guns and grenades in the same sense us on Earth would be.
Sure,
but they're aware of robots with rockets that shoot out of their chest.
Well, maybe they're from another dimension as well. But like Stryker, maybe he's thinking they're going to think I'm magic.
Oh yeah,
just like everyone else. So yeah, I've got a fireball.
These are my powers. I lay exploding eggs.
Oh, do you see that guy? Laid some exploding eggs. Tough customer.
What a magician.
That guy wears his black fireball shooter on his wrist.
That's what I hated. Could you use that gun of his?
You could, yeah.
Could you?
That was a special move.
I didn't remember, but I always remembered him just firing it up into the air when he won. Like a bad boy.
Yeah, he was a bit of a bad boy. It was also weird to have somebody, a white guy with a nightstick, be a protagonist after the LA riots. Just throw that out there.
Well,
yeah.
Like him versus Jax was a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was on. You know what?
We weren't ready for that shit.
I avoided that combination when fighting. Like if I picked Stryker and my brother went to pick Jax, I'd be like, dude, we're not ready for that.
You got to be Cyrax. You got to go Cyrax.
He's got to assault a robot.
What was the red one's name?
Sector.
Sector. Sector was cool.
Cyrax was the yellow one.
Right.
Then now, Smoke was a robot at some point. That's the story I want to see. Smoke went from a ninja to a robot.
Because of William Stryker from X-Men.
Yeah.
He's
that's
Weapon
what I'm
X.
thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean,
worlds colliding.
For more.
That's Stryker's dad, I think.
Yeah.
This is part of the X-Men universe.
For more inside baseball on the Mortal Kombat universe, see the rest of this episode. But back to the movie for just a moment. We cut to Johnny Cage.
Right.
And this is, you know, like it's a nice movie fake out, I think. Like
it's not bad. They do an okay job of it. He's also dressed like he's in a 90s porno, by the way. Because those
he's got a
pants,
black suit on?
It's a black suit with like a nice like Kelly green shirt, and those suit pants are a little too baggy to be business professional.
Do you think they're like rip away?
Yeah, he just got done yelling at a secretary, if you know what I mean.
So he gets into a fight with a bunch of people. Then you find out it's a movie set. And Steven Spielberg is directing a Steven Seagal-esque action movie.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Yeah, right.
Guy dressed identically to Steven Spielberg.
Well, the whole thing was Spielberg's a big video game fan, and he was supposed to be in the movie. And he had a scheduling conflict, and they put a dude in who looks like Spielberg.
Do you think that, like, I feel like he was asked, maybe. And
yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be fun. And then he got a script, and he was like, yeah, no. Yeah, no, I'm busy that day.
I like that game, but no.
You know, look, when I get home after a long day of Animaniacs and I'm all fucking, I'm all tired, I'll pop in some Mortal Kombat just like the next guy, fight some people. But I'm not going to be in that movie.
No. That's always one of my favorite parts of House of Cards is like Kevin Spacey getting home from a long day of trying to rule the world.
Yeah.
And he's just got to sit down with some PlayStation. That's fantastic.
But so, you know, Johnny Cage, apparently his motivation for going into this tournament where people get murdered is apparently the press. It's front page news everywhere that Johnny Cage is quote unquote a fake.
He's a fake, you guys.
Which doesn't make, like,
he's an actor.
Of course he's
a fake.
Remember in 1985 when they revealed Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't a Terminator? And everyone was all pissed off?
No, I have to make a second movie.
What a fake.
They're not going to believe I'm a Terminator.
Turns out that accent is Austrian and not robot. I thought it was fucking robot the whole time.
Guys, you know that robot's just some Austrian guy? What a load of horseshit.
I know. I went to that robot's other movie, too.
Apparently,
apparently,
Steven Seagal didn't kill 60 Jamaican men. What a fake.
Well, to be fair, he may have at one point.
But yeah. But not the ones you saw on screen, at the very least.
No.
Try to find out which one of my movies are documentaries. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Whoa, I didn't expect the Glimmer Man.
Yeah.
Well, so...
I just don't...
The thought I had was, like, who has ever done this? Like, who's ever been like, Jackie Chan's a phony. Oh, that Jet Li, he's really full of shit. Like, I don't understand what the fakeness is.
No.
Like, they're saying he's not a good fighter, I guess is the idea.
He's faking his moves. Says he does it for real, like that Jackie Chan.
Turns out he's using something called a fight choreographer.
Did you know that on these movies, they don't really die? That actor's still alive. He just falls down. Fucking phonies. Fucking Hollywood.
People throwing popcorn at a Johnny Cage movie. Ah, it's a phony. They're all a bunch of phonies.
Johnny Cage is faking it. Outside, my neighbor Harry saw him get beaten to death. He's just a regular guy.
All I'm saying is I'd like to see that Johnny Cage go and do Mortal Kombat. Let's see how he likes it.
The next day, hey, Johnny Cage is doing Mortal Kombat.
His agent, who looks like Kenny Rogers, which is my favorite thing.
Which is fantastic. That dude's been in a bunch of stuff,
too.
Oh,
has he?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, what? So you think he's like a Steven Seagal? That's the level of action star that Johnny Cage is supposed to be? Or is he bigger?
Is he
a Tom Cruise?
I don't think he's a Tom Cruise, because no one's really been like, oh my god, Johnny Cage. Everyone's like, oh, it's,
you know,
that
what?
Guy.
I think I would say he's somewhere in the middle, because I feel like the character itself is sort of based on Tom Cruise in a way, right?
Yeah.
Because he's always got those shades.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of the clean cut look.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a traditional fighter.
Doesn't have a ponytail.
Yeah.
Does not have a ponytail. That's true. Well, Van Damme was offered this role but decided to do Street Fighter. Bad move, I think. But also I think that I would have a problem with a Belgian Johnny Cage.
That's the thing. It's just, and also, speaking of Tom Cruise, though, he was also offered this role.
Yeah.
I think they really thought they could make this movie bigger than it was.
Oh, yeah, they tried.
Spielberg, Tom Cruise. Oh, yeah, we'll get all the luminaries, all the Hollywood hotshots for Mortal Kombat the movie.
I'll tell you this, though. If they got any of those guys, they probably wouldn't have the money left over to afford Christopher Lambert, and then we'd actually have an Asian Raiden.
Yeah,
like God intended.
Heaven forbid Raiden is played by an Asian gentleman.
All right, well, if we're doing, I'm doing the P&L on this Mortal Kombat, we could either have Richard Harris as Shang Tsung or and get an Asian guy for Raiden, or we get an Asian guy for Shang Tsung, and we get Christopher Lambert for Raiden.
But why is it Christopher Lambert? He doesn't do any fighting in this movie. He hire Christopher Lee.
Do you think it'd be loaded to put a French fella in a Vietnamese hat? Well, he's kind of American too, actually. Is that okay?
Is that weird to anybody else?
Oh, you know what, guys? Let's scrap this whole afternoon's meeting because it's 1995 and people don't care about that stuff. Fuck it. Cast Christopher Lambert. No one's looking.
By the way, when we're talking about Raiden, we just have to quickly give credit to John Carpenter for inventing the character in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is all of Mortal Kombat is like, hey, if I line Big Trouble in Little China up with Bloodsport, Mortal Kombat.
Kind of Enter the Dragon.
Billion too. Dollars, please.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the plot of this movie is definitely a little bit of Enter the Dragon going on.
Well, that's kind of the weird thing. It's the same thing when they made those Lara Croft movies. Like, as a video game, it made sense to be like, hey, look, we're not going to, you know, those Lucasfilm video games kind of suck. Let's just take the idea, have fun with it, make it blow it out as a cool video game where it's a sexy woman that's acting like Indiana Jones. You go into all sorts of Indiana Jones adventures because that's a video game. It's never been done before.
Steven, just real quickly, good news for the video game of Lara Croft Tomb Raider. The jiggle effect is in. We'll be able to put that in the game, Steven. Are you ready to play?
I just had them mocap my turkey neck so that the jiggles are accurate.
There was no reason for her breasts to bounce in those games.
No, but when you make that into a movie,
right,
it's just like, oh, it's just Indiana Jones. And that's kind of this, where like it made sense to make an Enter the Dragon or a Bloodsport kind of video game with like mixed with a Big Trouble in Little China, because you would never see that in a movie.
You would never see it, but also in the games, like this was before cutaway scenes.
Yes.
Right.
So you select who you're going to play, and then you're just stuck with the guy for 10 stages. And then the game's over with.
Yeah,
there's no sequences where you're going through whatever. Like, there's no adventure
story,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Whenever they try, remember that side-scrolling Sub-Zero game that came out?
I think I'm the only person who feels that that video game did not get enough play.
I never even heard of this.
Oh yeah, it's a Sub-Zero solo project. It's his solo record, and it's a side scroller, and you just kind of do shit. You go through levels.
How humiliating it was for him to crawl back to the Mortal Kombat label after that. Yeah, no, no. Yeah, all right, I'll take the mask off now, and I'll.
Yeah, oh, that was a bit of bullshit in that Mortal Kombat 3 when like
he was
Sub-Zero was Italian or something. Like,
I always thought Native American, but Italian could also work.
He looked like Frank Stallone with a scar on his face.
I think you're thinking of Nightwolf.
Well, Nightwolf. Was clearly a Native American.
In your face, Native American.
Oh, yeah. Down to the ghost tomahawk he would throw. He was downright Native American.
I thought it was a pretty cool character.
I loved playing at him. It was awesome because you had the bow and arrow and the tomahawk.
Yeah,
it was
man.
Great. And his animality, he turned into a wolf. Shock.
Shock of all shock.
But it was still kind of great.
So, like, his agent's like, ah, you're a fake, Johnny. I know you're the best. Everybody thinks you're a fake for some reason because it's movies. You better go fight in this secret tournament in another land where there's no cameras. That'll teach everybody.
Yeah, the thing that I realized about when they're getting these offers to go play in this tournament and whatnot, nobody tells them ahead of time that it's to the death.
Yeah, they don't say Mortal Kombat just yet. It's just combat.
This guy tells them nothing. He's like, you go down to the dock. Pier 57, there's going to be a boat. Get on it and get out of town. It's like the start of William Friedkin's Sorcerer. But you actually fight sorcerers.
Yeah, there's actual sorcerers in this movie. One difference.
Well, no, there's one sorcerer, and because everyone keeps calling Shang Tsung sorcerer, like a slur, like get out of my face, sorcerer,
fucking sorcerer.
Dude, that's my trade. I'm really good at it. Watch me turn into Kenny Rogers again.
Look, I'm a mystical magician. What else would you call me?
I just stole that guy's fucking soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of like. Maybe there's like a race angle to this.
Yeah.
Because you'd call a white guy a wizard, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Usually, I don't
know.
If
you call Raiden's not a wizard.
Well, the thing is, in the game, he's a goddamn sorcerer. In the movie, he's a wizard.
Isn't the game...
because he's a white guy.
Isn't the both though? Like he's supposed to be like the god of lightning.
He's like a god of thunder or whatever. Yeah.
One of the thunder or lightning,
weather
both.
In general.
So yeah, Liu Kang goes back to his cool ass Shaolin lifestyle, and they're like, "Get out of here, you pussy."
The
yeah.
Order of Light, by the way.
The Order of Light. We didn't think too much about that.
You smell like Dorita chips, asshole.
You come with me.
How do you know what that smells like?
I know.
I've lived a life.
Yeah. I, too, had the monk version of Rumspringer.
Yeah, where everyone goes and eats Doritos.
You just go off the, like, the monastery town line. Mm. There's a vendor, and he's selling all the varieties of Doritos. And you get to pick a bag, you eat it. And if you really like it and you want Doritos to stay in your life, you leave the monastery for good. If you're disgusted by Doritos, you go back onto the property. Monk Rumspringer.
The temptation of the pointy chips is what that ritual is called.
Yeah, you got to dignify it just a little bit.
And, you know, Raiden shows up and, like, Liu Kang's like, Raiden's not white. And he's like, no, in this one I am.
See, the thing is, no one cared, so I'm just white. He also hilariously calls him like a hobo or like a beggar or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Lambert, in the only bit of physical action he does in this movie, like does like a cross arm front flip and tosses him, a hip toss.
I feel like Lambert could fight a little bit. I mean, he's probably a phony because I don't think he's actually an immortal that cuts people's heads off.
No.
But I think that like he's a dude that can get into some shit.
Well, he's done fighting movies, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Highlander, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you're fighting all up and down that runtime.
Yeah, with the fucking claymore.
You're doing, like, sword play and stuff. Well, I guess, you know, Raiden just shoots lightning. He doesn't use a sword.
Is he always talking like Peter Lorre, or is that just this movie?
No, that's just his voice.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got a weird thing going on, because
he was born here, but
he was raised in, like, Switzerland, and he, I guess, lived in France? I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of...
His laugh is great, though, huh?
Why is he laughing? Here's what's obnoxious. They make
Enough!
Lord Raiden... They make the Lord Raiden character in this movie have the same personality as Splinter in the Ninja Turtles movies.
Yes, exactly.
He's just like making all these jokes and shit, and he's one fart away from being the Splinter puppet. It's just like, oh, yeah, you're not going to like this. I'm the god of thunder.
That's why I can crack wind. It's an ancient wind, a mystic wind.
So they,
my farts give you powers.
They break down what the thing is, which apparently is the only way Shao Kahn can invade Earth and take this realm as his own is to win 10 straight karate tournaments. Competitions. That's it.
10 straight Mortal Kombat.
If he goes 9-1, he doesn't get to come in.
Yeah, you got to start over.
And this is the 10th one. This is when the stakes are high. You know, Shang Tsung has already decimated Cobra Kai in the first one.
Also, Mortal Kombat happens once in a generation, we're told.
So it's like 150 years this guy has to do. Like, what are we doing?
You really just want to take over that next world.
So I guess he's pretty old.
Well, I get the feeling they're supposed to be like demons/gods.
They're really old. Right, because there's a line in here that mentions that Princess Quintana is over 10,000 years old.
Oh, right, yeah.
She's old as Abraxas.
No, that's how long I've been on the force, buddy. That's how long I've been a finder.
I'm older than that Princess Katana.
I'm her godfather.
She's just a pup compared to me. It's so ridiculous.
But so, like, that's the story. We meet on a creepy boat.
It's a dragon boat.
It's a dragon boat.
They just got done filming an episode of Scooby-Doo right before it.
Well, I mean, they said the fight would be in the Orient, so I guess it's the dragon boat.
Yeah.
It's like the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Like, there's just, like, all these creeks.
And then Christopher Lambert chases you around in a circle on the boat.
He's Christopher Lambert might as well be animatronic.
You know what I read about him today?
Please.
Who, Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, that he's got myopia, so like he can't like see well at all. Like
really?
He needs glasses and he physically like I guess can't wear contacts. So whenever he does stunts in movies, he injures himself.
I'm like Mr. Magoo. I auditioned for the role that went to Leslie Nielsen. I could have got it, you know.
That would have been great. I would have loved that.
And Christopher Lambert as Mr. Magoo.
I can't see anything.
Every time they do a fighting scene, all like the grips are wearing like football helmets. He's just going to punch you in the face.
Oh, I made a funny. I'm going to get you, Shao Kahn.
No, it's not. Oh, fuck. No, it's me, Gary.
I don't care, Shao Kahn. I know you can take many different forms.
Oh, man, I love
it. Can we just really quickly, this is the Christopher Lambert voice and hopeful laughter.
Yes.
To justify any of this creepiness.
It's man, fantastic.
Shit, I love him.
So Sonya is about a hair away from getting raped this entire movie.
Pretty much.
Like, at every turn, like,
Shang's... It's a real dude-dominated Mortal Kombat.
Shang Tsung's like, oh, my princess, my beautiful princess, come, you can join me in my chamber later. And she's like, no.
What is the explanation as to why Shang Tsung wants Sonya in Mortal Kombat? There's some kind of reference to something about her being a special something or other.
Well, doesn't Raiden want her in?
No, Shang Tsung wants her because at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, he wants somebody to fight and to know he's going to beat. And for some reason, because she's a woman, she cannot. Everyone like knows like it's a math problem that there's no way that this person could beat Shang Tsung.
But that reasoning though, like if that's the reason,
sure.
It doesn't make any sense for what he sets out to do, because first he has to hire Kano, who he knows is being tracked by Sonya for some odd reason, to lure Sonya onto this boat into the outworld. Pray that she doesn't get murdered somewhere along the way in Mortal Kombat and then fight her and win.
Man, what a blow to his ego if he knew that he was just Sonya bait.
Kano?
Yeah. He thought he was, you know.
Oh, I thought you brought me on this dragon boat so I could be a good fighter in Mortal Kombat.
Well, no, he knows that. He's like, oh, I can't wait to get me payment. What, Outworld doubloons? Like, what?
You cannot cash those anywhere in this town.
Can't wait for my chest of magic to show up.
Oh, Shang Tsung told me he'd give me a bunch of souls of British people. I love it.
I'm getting paid in souls.
Think of the treasure.
Yeah.
Jonesy, the treasure.
He is kind of that character.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It'd be great if he's like, oh, he's going to give me a new eye. I'll get my eye back.
Get my this robot eye out. Give it back. Give it back to...
Give it back to Sammy Davis Jr. Oh.
I stalled because I was trying to think of what those goddamn robots were called again.
Cyrex. The Sector.
Yes.
Give it back to Peter Falk.
Oh, man. Man, oh. Peter Falk with a Kano eye? Sign me up.
Hey, excuse me, Sonya. Don't you want to get on this dragon boat with me? Hey, how do I bet on Mortal Kombat? What's the action on a black guy there? Yeah, give me $200 on him. Give me, you know, actually, no, scratch that. Give me the forearm guy there.
Can you believe this, by the way? We're sitting around fighting to the death with all these people. I can't even smoke in here. I gotta go outside. This guy's getting his face broken into a rock.
You know, this Mortal Kombat's a great, real great time way to spend a time. I'm just waiting for a boat transfer to Hong Kong.
Yeah, the hotel. You know, I got the hotel, the resort package, and you know, you get extra. You get these tickets on every day to Mortal Kombat. You know, I figure let's check it out.
It's just a quick boat ride. It's fine. I'll go I'll check it out. It's just Mortal Kombat. But if I'd known I'm going to get here, I can't smoke inside the arena. I mean, I saw Joe Louis fight 60 times. I smoked in every one of them.
He just thinks he's going to an old-timey boxing event.
I would love that Mortal Kombat has a no smoking policy.
Well, it's very distracting for the fighters, all right? And they are fighting for their lives.
Smoking in the ring only, as in charred corpses.
So everybody's running onto the boat. Sonya runs onto the boat, and then Jax like tries to go after her. And then this, what's this dude's name? Lenny?
Art?
Art.
Yeah.
And then Art like. Art may as well run in front of Jax and be like, sorry, Jax, one black guy at a time. And Jax, who is a known Mortal Kombat character, is done in the movie. Well, that's the last you see of him.
He'll get the next dragon boat for the next
He is
Mortal
in the second
Kombat.
Movie.
Does he have the robot arms? I've never seen the second one.
I almost walked out of it. It's that bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think it got a theatrical release.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Goo.
And he does... He doesn't start with the robot arms, but he gets them at a certain point.
He gets William Strikerd, huh? Everybody's just getting turned into robots in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Turned into robots, turned into Italian dudes.
That's what happens if you get drunk on the wrong dragon boat.
Wake up a robot.
Careful around here, mate. You fall asleep too drunk, you're going to wake up a robot.
That's how he got his Kano eye.
Ah, fuck. You know, I was good with the glass one. How am I? It doesn't even shoot any lasers or nothing. I just got red coming true now.
And Cassavetes hates science fiction. He's never going to hire me again.
Thanks for putting me out of work, robot.
I'd like to see Peter Falk sitting in makeup to do Columbo, like covering that up.
This is getting to be a little not worth it, if you know what I'm saying.
Gotta wear a contact on my fake eye.
Ah, I'm as blind as Christopher Lambert over here.
So, I mean, like, the funny thing about this thing is, like, they never... Shang Tsung's... It's not like Enter the Dragon where it's like, here are your rooms. You know, this is your room on the boat. This is what you're... The clothes... They're just like... I guess they just sleep on the fucking deck.
It's like you're going to Ellis Island in 1860. Like, that's what we're dealing with here. You're all just crammed on this boat like rats. And in the meantime, Raiden finds all the white people or or non-intimidating Asian guy to get them to get them together in a little circle. And he's like, okay... So now that we're all here, I'm going to tell you, this is Mortal Kombat.
And Art's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? Don't worry, Art.
Don't worry.
Art, you be quiet. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later, Art. I have to talk to everybody else first.
the God of Thunder and Exposition.
So I feel like it's probably important if I hear it too.
No, Art. It's not important. You know, Art, you kind of look like Tim Hardaway a little bit.
Yeah, he does. So he explains what's going on, and he's like, you gotta defeat Shang Tsung, you know, or else Earth's fucked. The Earth realm is fucked.
Right.
So you better win Mortal Kombat.
Shang Tsung will take over,
We had a really bad streak in the Mortal Kombat. 9 losses in a row. He's worse than the Buffalo Bills. We are the Buffalo Bills of Mortal Kombat.
Your Christopher Lambert is getting dangerously close to Triumph the Insult Comedy. It's great. I mean, don't course correct, but I'm just letting you know what's
That's
happening.
Fine. I'm okay with it.
For me to poop on.
I mean, the good thing is you're like, oh man, the movie is taking too long to get to Outworld. How are they going to go through this whole movie? Don't worry.
It's just
fight scenes after.
Oh, right.
Like, we get to Outworld and it looks a lot like, or no, we're not at Outworld yet. We're at this like kind of hub because we don't go to Outworld until the last bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like this way station.
Oh, right. That's where Peter Falk was catching his boat.
Well, like, because Christopher Lambert, this is great because it's a hilarious bit of ridiculous editing in this movie. Also, I have a note, what is with Raiden's laugh? But so they're on the boat, and right when he finishes his little instruction guide to how you're going to play the game, he goes, it has begun. And then like he looks up, and these clouds are coming over, and I think it's the shape of a skull or something. And the boat goes through it, right? Or it's about to go through it. And then that's the last thing you hear, and we cut to Shang Tsung, and he just goes, it has begun. And I was like, I fucking know. Raiden just told me, you idiot.
I like the idea of like being in your hotel. And you know, there's that like channel 3 is always the informational channel. It's just Raiden like
So the things to do on Mortal Kombat are, please take advantage of our commissary. Every morning, there's all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. Oh, welcome to Goro's Putt-Putt Golf. If you would like to rent a boat from Jax's Motorboats, you must fill out all insurance forms a day in advance.
I want to go to a Mortal Kombat-themed resort.
Oh, little hungry after dinner? And here's something to cool your appetite. Sub-Zero's ice cream. Delicious blueberry flavors.
And top-notch laser eye surgery. I don't know where. Wherever they get the robot eyes.
In the mood for a midnight snack? Why not come down to Scorpion's Fire Grill?
It'll make you be saying, get over here.
I can't. Looking for something. Looking for something fun to do with the whole family? Check out Reptile's Reptile House.
meet all of his brothers and sisters.
So we should start talking about Goro a little bit, because this is when he shows up.
Oh, is right. This... He's at the dinner scene with Kano, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he and Kano have their own all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, what is the deal? This is a puppet that I'm looking at?
This is a Ninja Turtle with four arms.
Yeah. So it's an animatronic thing? It's a puppet with a person inside of it?
I have no idea.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it's like a 7-foot-tall clay statue that they stop motion.
It's Der Golem.
Yes. Sang Tsung writes a little thing on a piece of paper of who he wants Goro to fight and slips it into Goro's mouth.
Sang Tsung is using Jewish mysticism. He truly is a world-traveled sorcerer.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Now, because, listen, Goro looks really bad in this movie.
He does.
And I was sober as a judge watching it. There's several notes where I'm just like, what am I looking at? Is it a puppet? Is it a bad computer? Because there's lots of bad CGI in this movie. Speaking of Reptile, that shit's terrible. That looks like,
man.
You're watching like real life and then a character from Mario Kart 64 comes on the screen.
Wrong. That would have been better. Yoshi would have made this thing work. Like, they just had Yoshi play Reptile. Sign me up. Because 1995...
They have that record scratch sound every time he comes out.
Yeah, because the movie has to stop dead because it's like, what am I fucking looking at?
Why can't you? I know that Yoshi puppet was somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because this came out after Mario Brothers,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, I think it did, yeah.
Unless the Yoshi puppet was already in the Smithsonian. I mean, that may have happened.
They were prepping it for the sequel.
But this thing looks like dog shit. And
it
like,
really does.
There are a couple times in this movie where you're like, okay, like these special effects aren't terrible. They're kind of like proto Spawn special effects.
Yes.
There's a lot of bad matte paintings in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Forget about it.
This is like matte painting the motion picture. Like, not since Citizen Kane have matte paintings been used this much.
You know what? I kind of like it. It's kind of got a charm to it.
It does.
Unfortunately, a screensaver shows up every so often called Reptile.
It's so distractingly terrible. Like, there's a scene where Liu Kang's got to strangle it, and it's just this poor actor strangling nothing, and it's just, it's the absolute worst special effects 1995 ever saw. Like, this is 2 years after Jurassic Park. Come on, you guys. Rent a raptor.
Don't be alarmed if your room key doesn't open your hotel door, because it's just a matte painting. It's a matte painting of a bunch of hotel doors. Hey, guys, looking to get away from the wife for a while? Then come to our spa and get the full body massage from Kitana.
Or Goro.
It depends on what you like.
I mean, so, I mean, Goro is, in the video game, he was always not a playable character.
No.
He was always the second, before you fought mm-hmm. Shang Tsung, was always infinitely harder than Shang Tsung. Like, where Shang Tsung was like a cherry on top. He's like, oh, this guy's really easy.
Well, it's kind of like nowadays when, like, penultimate episodes of television shows yeah. are better than the finales. Yeah. That's what it was like in Mortal Kombat. Side question, just real quick, because speaking of Shang Tsung, like, when you fought him in that game, so I'm thinking about Shang Tsung in the first one.
Yeah.
How did Shang Tsung go from Shang Tsung in the first one to Shang Tsung in the second one where he looks like a Japanese fisherman? Like, he had, like, a Joe Pesci in Home Alone hat on.
Yeah.
And just, like, right. that little yellow and black outfit with, like, the overalls.
Yeah. I kind of like that outfit. You know, I think it's because he got demoted. Because people succeeded at Mortal Kombat, the first video game, I guess, right. that storyline ends. And then in the second one, I think then we get Shao Kahn, which is the emperor, I'm actually above.
It's just Shang Shredder with a bone helmet.
Yeah. And then you have that lame sauce Kintaro in the second one, who's like Goro, but a tiger for some reason.
Oh, really? I kind of forget.
Yeah. Wasn't he the horse, or that was Motaro?
That was Motaro. He's in the third one.
Jesus. They really just kind of ran in circles.
It's just like, we need something with four arms or four legs.
I just love, like, it, like the start of Mortal Kombat 2, like Shang Tsung shows up to enter the tournament and Raiden's just standing there and he's like, oh, look who just came crawling back to Mortal Kombat Incorporated.
Want to get away? Do some horseback riding on the beach? Check out Motaro's rides. That's not even Raiden anymore.
I don't give a shit. It's great.
It's great.
There you go.
Yeah, now it's Raiden again.
It's bad. I don't know. Like, he's not a puppet. He's like a Muppet, I guess, kind of.
It's like the most evil Muppet that ever existed.
And he's got, like, this really commanding, weird voice that doesn't match up with the character at all.
But you know what it reminded me of, speaking of the Ninja Turtles? You remember in that second Ninja Turtles motion picture where there's Toka and Rezar?
Yeah.
Which one was the turtle? Was that
I couldn't tell you. I think Rezar was the wolf.
Okay. Well, whichever the one that the turtle is, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the same face that Goro has in this movie. It might have been the same, like, Stan Winston workshop. I don't know what's going on with this thing. But so we're all having a big feast. And this is, again, like Enter the Dragon. Also, like Gymkata quite a bit.
Yeah.
We're having a feast with the enemy before we start the tournament the next day.
But it's
there's no King Lloyd Kaufman this time, though.
But usually in Enter the Dragon and Gymkata, they have the good grace for you to finish your meal. But not here.
No, sir.
Shang Tsung's just like, it's like, fuck you, freshman. Dinner's over.
Yeah.
All these, like, behooded dudes who are like Shang Tsung's posse, who kind of don't make a lot of sense in this movie. Because we're all about Mortal Kombat. We have to win the tournament. The tournament has this whole system of Baroque rules. But these hooded gentlemen are just trying to kill everybody 24/7.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
They all look, by the way, like they just crawled down from the Tower of London. Like they all just got done executing someone with a fucking guillotine.
Mm.
And this is so they
sounds juicy.
It's kind of great. So they flip all the tables over, and he's like, "I'll show you what real Mortal Kombat is." And then Sub-Zero and Scorpion come out. They look good. I mean, like it's kind of hard to fuck up Sub-Zero and Scorpion, but they do sort of with this fucking I don't even know what, like this Mystery Science Theater Scorpion spear that comes out. Gypsy the fucking robot comes out.
Why does it have to have a mouth and scream?
No.
Like, why is it a little animal? It's like a fucking alien chest bursting thing.
It's a Fraggle, practically, out of his arm.
I think George Lucas saw this movie and then was like, you know, I could go back and I could make the Sarlacc pit have a little fun little monster like that that can just gobble up Boba Fett. Why have a pit when this, you know, this guy's arm was a pit and now it became a little Sarlacc.
little Muppet. It's fun. Hey, Steven, you think I could put Sepulba in that pit? I wouldn't want to do that to Sepulba. That's a dangerous place to put Sepulba.
So then they just have, like, this little demonstration. Sub-Zero, like, fights this dude.
Which is really unfair, because this guy's like, oh, I'm so good at karate. But, dude, Sub-Zero's got superpowers.
That's what, you know, it's so unfair.
It is.
this dude's not getting out of this. And this is an instance where the computer effects for 1995 are not that bad.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero throws a little ice ball out, freezes this guy in mid-jump, and the dude shatters. His fucking frozen head, like, falls at Shang Tsung's feet, and Shang Tsung's like, well, good night. And they're just like, wow, this is pretty intense, huh?
I told you it would be difficult.
And so also we should mention that Liu Kang, the only reason he has entered himself in the tournament, he wasn't invited. Mm-hmm. He just kind of tagged along because he's out to avenge his brother's death because Shang Tsung killed his brother.
Yeah.
And so like, he's like, now we got to do like...
And we're saying the chosen one also a lot in this movie. Liu Kang is the chosen
one.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. But now, like, now that the demonstration and the feast is over for the evening, it's like, well, I'm going to chase down that Shang Tsung and give him what's for.
Yeah.
And Raiden's like, but there's a movie.
the weird thing is about Mortal Kombat starts the next day. Liu Kang fights another black guy. And I say this because at a certain point, it's black guy Zip, death two, you know, because the first guy to die in this movie, well, not the first guy to die is black guy, but like the first like character is that art character, and yeah, he definitely,
oh, he gets a super death.
This guy, he fights Liu Kang. Liu Kang beats him, and then, you know, like, obviously, because we're really taking everything from the game, Shang Tsung's like, finish him, and like nothing happens, and he just kind of steals this dude's soul.
He just takes the soul. You know, here's a problem I had with like the some of the turns of phrase that Mortal Kombat invented over the years.
Yeah.
When in the Mortal Kombat game,
yeah,
if you can recall, when is the time in which you get a flawless victory?
It's when you fight somebody and don't get hit once.
Yes. Correct.
No damage.
Yeah. They totally misappropriate that to just you beat them and it's a flawless victory.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie gets flawless victories, but everyone's getting their ass kicked equally,
yeah,
until one person just slips up and dies.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
And it's just like Shang Tsung's throwing around flawless victory left and
right.
You
might as well be saying Babe-ality. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Has this world gone mad?
Is this some type of outworld? Where, you know, instead of in like it normally is,
things are out.
Yeah, I'm normally in the world, but now it's like I'm out world.
Everybody's just taking it out in this world.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, like, there's no brackets in this tournament, which I really, like, it made sense in the game where it was like, I'm this guy and I fight all these people and then I fight Shang Tsung. In this, it's just kind of like, I don't know, you're going to be on this island, you're probably going to die, either my henchmen are going to kill you, or you're going to get into a bunch of arbitrary fights that kind of don't lead anywhere, which is where we are in this movie. The Scorpion fight's pretty fun.
Johnny Cage v. Scorpion?
Yeah.
Well, because that's, I mean, now we're just in the part of the movie where we're just going through levels.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like Liu Kang just kind of murders that the dude with the dreads. That's, yeah, like sort of the first fight.
And yeah. Sonya versus Kano.
Sonya versus Kano, like, so they're setting up like this whole, the whole crux of this movie is like Sonya chasing him to literally the ends of the earth and, yeah, whatever to capture him and bring him back. They have a fight that lasts under 3 minutes.
She gets threatened to be raped 4 times in this fight.
Yeah.
And then it's unsettling.
It is.
It's really bad. It's, and then she just murders him though, and you're like, well, all
right. She snaps his neck.
Yeah. You know, why,
oh, give
she
me a break. She's like, gladly, and breaks his neck.
It's very,
and we
James
cut
Bond
immediately. We,
by
cut
the
immediately
way, we, yeah, haven't mentioned, I don't think, that Sonya's played by Miss Veronica Vaughn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're
Billy
totally
Madison.
Right. This was
Veronica,
the movie she
Vaughn is one piece of ace.
You know, a guy I know and her got it on.
No, he didn't.
Well, imagine what it'd be like if they did, though, right?
This is the movie she did right after that. It was immediately after.
I think she married Pete Sampras at a certain point, because I was looking up like trivia on her, and it was like, I think her name is Bridget something.
Yeah.
And it was like Bridget something / Sampras. I was like, wow.
It could just be any other Sampras. You think
there's
it's
no other
the Pete Sampras. No, oh, that's
no.
It.
It's the Miss Veronica Vaughn and Pete Sampras.
Looking to take a few tennis strokes in? Go learn from Pete Sampras and Sonya Blade.
By the way, now, Andrew, I don't know if you know this. I just found this out this afternoon. This might blow your mind. Now, since we're about to talk about the Scorpion fight, the dude who played Scorpion did mocap for Dex the Dog Detective in Food Fight.
Stop
it. It's on his outdated website. It's insane.
Oh, my God.
Who knew they had mocap in that thing?
I was just going to say, it's more shocking to me, not that this actor was a part of it, but that they bothered to do mocap. Do you think there was mocap on the original movie that got stolen in that laptop?
I bet, yeah. And then they just so we never got to see Scorpion's graceful portrayal as the body of Dex the Dog Detective, I imagine.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Who knew this guy'd still be working?
New listeners, for maximum enjoyment, check out our episode on Food Fight.
Absolutely. Well, I guess though I was making fun of that guy working, but like that's the great thing about being these kind of like sort of nobody stunt guy.
You're a stunt performer, yeah.
You're just doing everything. I was reading that, I don't know if it was in this movie or the other one, the Annihilation, where, like, they were kind of short on stuntmen, so, like, stuntmen were playing multiple characters. How tired do you think some of these guys were getting? There's got to be some union shit involved in that.
I mean, you're just working every day. I mean,
so some OT, maybe?
Yeah. You get better little, be making something.
Get a little bank right there.
If you got to play four different ninjas.
All the ninjas.
The Scorpion fight with Johnny Cage.
They fight a little bit in the jungle, and then they go to hell for no reason.
This is what's weird.
It's Outworld. Yeah. That's just another, it's down the street.
But it's so weird, though, because we have, like, the sanctioned fights within Mortal Kombat. And this is what I was saying to you earlier today, Steve. There's times and places for brackets, mainly college basketball and death tournaments.
Yes.
Because you have the sanctioned fighting that's going on, and it's like, Liu Kang fights Sub-Zero at one point. Like, that's a sanctioned fight. The Sonya Kano fight, sanctioned. Liu Kang, an anonymous guy, sanctioned.
Yeah.
Art and whomever, sanctioned. But then after one sanctioned fight, we cut to Johnny Cage, who's just taking a stroll in the jungle. And then Scorpion just comes out of nowhere and he's like, hey, get over here. Yeah. And they just start fighting. And I'm like, wait, so is this part of Mortal Kombat? If Johnny Cage wins, does he advance in the tournament?
This movie has I guess this falls under this rule because Shang Tsung invokes it later, where you can just challenge someone and then the fight begins. Uh-huh. And then you have to fight them and blah, blah, blah.
And if you die
blah.
In the game, you die for real.
Exactly.
You're goddamn right.
So they go die in Outworld, you die for real.
They go to hell, and it's great because Johnny Cage is never too surprised that Scorpion is like the devil.
No one is surprised by any of the magic in this movie. All the human beings look at shit and they're like, that's kind of strange.
Scorpion rips his face off and he's a skeleton. And Johnny Cage instinctually grabs the shield because he knows the skeleton is about to breathe fire. He's just like, I like the look of that skeleton's eye.
It's outrageous. And they're fighting in this set that looks like Leatherface's wet dream because there's just bone furniture everywhere and bone lighting fixtures everywhere.
I mean, most of this stuff is rejected Iron Maiden concept art. Just every skulls everywhere, scary skeletons.
Yeah, this is like if Charles Manson was allowed to be on the outside, this is what the world would look like.
This is where he'd live.
Yes, exactly. So now the shield he grabs, of course, because it's Outworld, it's got to have crazy jagged razor edges.
Uh-huh.
So he slashes at Scorpion, and then, of course, he just bleeds fire.
Well, as someone named Scorpion with a skeleton face would do.
And again, Johnny Cage is like, oh shit, I know the skeleton that's bleeding fire is about to explode, so I better get out of here.
There's a real it's gonna blow moment, and then this puppet just explodes. It's really stupid.
And then all the, the burning flesh falls down there, and this is great, because then just a little autograph floats down on top of it, and it's a picture of Johnny Cage in sunglasses to my greatest fan.
That's his friendship move.
It's great.
That's what he was doing.
Speaking
of
which, I think Scorpion had a finishing move where he rips his face off and it's a skull and he burns you with fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing.
That just came back to me, man.
Yeah, that was his finishing move.
That shit never goes away.
I think he had another one with the harpoon where he made you explode
if
you pulled hard enough.
He uppercuts you and then you go down to the pit, maybe.
Well, yeah, that was if you just did that code on that level. Anyone could do the uppercut into the pit.
The problem with the fatalities as those games went on, like, I feel like you got 3 seconds for a fatality. Once we're it's like, I'm going to get in this car, and then I'm going to fucking drive to this store, and I'm going to pick up all these hammers, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to fatality you real bad, man.
A lot of those fatalities never made any sense, because it was like a cartoon character. Like, he pulls a giant mallet out of nowhere, or what have you. Now, let me ask you guys this. Did you guys have the kid in your school that was, like, ultra obsessed with Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Like, ultra, ultra, ultra obsessed with Mortal Kombat to the point where you were pretty sure he was making up stuff that wasn't in the game?
People love to make up fatalities for this game.
Really?
And report them back.
Honestly, I don't think we had that kid, but I want to hear about these faux fatalities.
Do you have one? Because I've got a really weird one. So there was a dude obsessed with Mortal Kombat, okay?
It happened.
It really happened, right? And so it was Mortal Kombat 2 had been out, or had just come out, or some such nonsense. It had been out for a while, I think. Regardless, I was in, like, the fifth grade. This kid comes into the lunchroom, right? And he's like, hey, man, just got my new code book. Because that's the other thing, right? You bought all these walkthrough books,
sure,
the codes and everything. And he's like, found this new code out for Mortal Kombat 2. And everyone's like, oh, really? Like, what's the thing? Oh, it's something you can only do with Raiden. It's a nudality. And we were like, what?
Yeah. You can only do it if you have the Christopher Lambert code.
And as he explained what he thought a nudality was, it was you get the dude ready for finish him, you do the code for nudality, and Raiden drops his drawers and then just puts his hand up and lightning strikes, and you can see his dick. And I was like, why would you want to do that? Why would they put that in the video game? And, like, nobody believed him. And he was like, no, guys, it's serious. You can see Raiden's dick, and guess what? Little Dick Raiden. I was like, what? Why would you make up that you're seeing this video game character's penis? It was so odd.
Does that kill the other person? But does then he come lightning?
No, the time runs out and he just falls over and it's nudality. But this kid swore up and down. Dude, and we were like, that guy's delusional.
Right into the We Hate Movies mailbag if you ever did a nudality. In real life or otherwise.
I beat this guy so much. He was about to die, and then I took my clothes off.
And I watched him fall over.
I showed him my little dick. Lightning came out of my little dick.
It was the biggest letdown, because anytime someone came in that was like, I did this, like, new fatality, I got this one to work.
Yeah.
And so we were so excited. It was just like, wait, what? You're saying you saw this cartoon's cock?
Riding a bus somewhere right now telling somebody that same story right now. Hey, man, you know that Mortal Kombat game? What? I saw Raiden's little dick.
Saw his dick.
You want to see my dick?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he kills the Drifter.
Dude, I saw that guy's dick in, like, 1993. It was great. So, yeah, that's my weird fatality story.
Now, Steve, you have one, right?
No, I don't really. I mean, people would make up stories about, like, other games, and it was just always a really sad situation. Like, somebody said that there was a code for N64 Shadow of the Empire that had a fucking lightsaber in it, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And I was like, give me that code. He's like, I'll bring it in tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, bring it in tomorrow. I'll bring it in the next day. And, like, of course the internet didn't exist, or not in such a way where I could, like, Google something and say, hey, is this bullshit?
Yeah.
He fucking really strung me along for a long time.
What a fucking prick.
I'm still waiting for that code. Hey, man, I'm still waiting for that code.
If you have the code, please email the mailbag.
I mean, at this point, Art gets murdered by Goro, like, which is hilarious.
It's what, like, I love about this fight scene is here's this guy, Art. You know, Mortal Kombat's Art, right?
Before every fight that everyone has, Raiden's like, okay, this is how you win. You have to fight his legs. And Art's like, hey, Raiden, you got anything for me fighting Goro? And he's like,
I'll bring the code in tomorrow. Is that what you're going to do?
Don't worry, Art. I'll come in tomorrow with the code. I have the cheat code to beat Goro.
So inevitably, when Art is murdered by this puppet, okay, it's just this dude who's on this boat. Nobody knows who he is, but all of a sudden, magically, all of our main characters, Sonya, Johnny, and Liu Kang, are all screaming for Art. No! And I'm like, why do you fucking care? He's a complete stranger. You've watched four other complete strangers drop dead in this tournament. But for some reason, Art is just... it's just making you cry out?
Secondarily, there's these two guys, these two featured extras that are like Goro's fan club. Did
anyone
else
he's got a couple of groupies.
Which doesn't make sense because they're humans. Clearly, they're in Mortal Kombat. You're going to fight Goro eventually, dude, and he's going to rip your fucking throat out.
Well, I think it's a thing like in the Hunger Games when they're like, oh, we'll like partner up, you know, make like a strong alliance. And then when everybody else is done, okay, then we'll fight each other. It's like, dude, just get on Goro's good side, right? We'll be Team Goro. And then when it comes down to it, we'll all kill him.
Yes, it's like once Goro is exhausted from murdering everyone, we might have a shot.
But the problem with Goro, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in this movie because he's such a bad puppet. Like,
he's a prince.
He is prince.
He's royalty, everybody.
But he's so slow, and like, you could if you were good at karate, you could beat the shit out of Goro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and his bottom arms barely work. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not.
It was kind of like the Jaws shark. They just never had it working perfectly. The Goro puppet side kind of. Immature question. He's got two sets of arms. Does he have two penises?
No, why would he have two penises? No.
Why not?
You should have asked if he had another set of legs somewhere, maybe. But
well, I know he doesn't because I can see his legs. I don't. There's no nudity for Goro.
I don't think any animal ever has two sets of male genitalia for no reason.
A monster has four arms for no reason.
Okay.
A monster then... could possibly have two penises for no reason.
I mean, why would he have four at that point?
Because you only have one. You have two arms, so that's four arms. Okay. You have one penis, it's two penises. By the way, there was a dude I saw on the news that had two cocks, and both of them worked.
Oh, yeah, you're going to bring the code in tomorrow?
No, but I will be able to Google and find you that story.
Oh, okay. God, that's...
It was horrendous.
Nudality. I'll show you tomorrow.
Well, you know, this was filmed in Thailand.
You never know. I'm just saying, you never know.
You know, honestly, you're right. We never get a peek under his leather skirt.
So
he might have a vagina.
He might.
Maybe he's a hermaphrodite.
It's entirely possible.
That could be true too.
Johnny Cage is so incensed that Art was killed that he decides to challenge Goro himself.
Yeah, and this is a silly scene.
I mean, he just punches Goro in the balls.
So we know he's got something down there.
Which is a classic move, if you guys know the code.
Right. Because he had his ball punch, right? Yeah, he did the split and the ball punch. But he doesn't do the split. Like, he just, like, kind of leans over, and he's like, punches it.
I think he splits.
I did not see that dude split,
I think it's at least a half a split. Yeah.
Well, because they showcased his one thing. Like, because he had... Johnny Cage had some dumbass moves in the game. Yeah. Like, he had the thing, it was like the shadow punch and the shadow kick.
Yeah.
And he does a little bit of that when he fights with Scorpion. They're very picky and choosy about what powers the humans display in the movie.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, I mean, at the end, Liu Kang does a fireball, which is not built up whatsoever. It's not like he has to learn how to do it or, like, you know. Like,
Sonya doesn't throw out, like, the pink rings or anything like that. That never happens.
No, well, she's too busy getting almost raped and definitely kidnapped in this movie.
Yeah, she kind of just turns into Faye Ray at the end of this movie.
She does olive oil. Like, no, save me.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, because like, she's kicking ass in the beginning.
She fucking killed Kano. I saw it. Saw it with my own two eyes.
I saw it. Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen. Nero, Star Trek, 2009.
Thanks for the bibliography on that joke.
You're well, no one's going to understand it.
So Goro gets punched in the nads. We don't know how many penises he has or how many testicles are ruptured by this punch.
But
two or six.
I was going to say, if it's two penises, it's possible it's four testicles.
Sure. That makes just perfect sense.
Putting it out there.
It all makes sense.
And there, I mean, it is a comically long, like, oh,
oh my nerds.
And he's
my
just,
outworld nerds.
He's just going on about getting punched in the balls.
Do you think that there is at least one, like, work print of this? That has the boing soundtrack sound effect.
Yeah. Yes, I do. That definitely exists.
It's not against Paul W.S. Anderson. It's like
There should have been little Tweety birds and stars around.
Let me see it with and without, and I'll decide afterwards. Because I think I might want it.
I think I might want to keep it.
And then you know they fight in a cliff, and Goro falls down, and he dies. Hooray!
Yep, that's really it.
That's a wrap on Goro, everybody.
Thank God, because that puppet is terrible.
Yeah, they just did not have the budget to keep that thing going.
And that's like, you know what? You leave him out of the movie.
And then at this point, Sonya gets kidnapped. And like, because the thing is, Shang Tsung's like, you know, again, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, when Johnny Cage is striking the deal to challenge Goro, which doesn't make, you know what I mean? Like, it would just be.
Just do it.
Just do it. He has to go to Shang Tsung first. He's like, all right, I want to challenge Goro. He's like, all right, you're going to get killed. But in return, I get to do this, that. Like, why is Johnny Cage like making deals?
Just challenge him. It doesn't make any, like a lot of this shit. Like,
yeah. There's no brackets.
There's no brackets. Halfway through the movie, all of a sudden, Liu Kang may or may not be a chosen one.
Yeah.
Like, all of this shit is just kind of tossed in. It's like a really bad salad. Like, it's a salad that's so mixed, and there's like you made a big salad, and there's way too much lettuce in the salad. Mm. So all throughout the salad, you're finding little bits of other things that you're like, oh, I didn't know this was supposed to be in the salad.
You had to have the big salad.
Exactly.
And, you know, so Olive Oil gets kidnapped, and she's just like, I used to know karate, but now I don't anymore.
Now all of a sudden I can't fight you, and you're pulling me by the hair for some reason. I was a deadly weapon with my hands and feet not more than 5 minutes ago. Now I'm being dragged along like a cave woman.
It's a major fighter character.
Yep. And then Princess Katana sidles up, and she's like, hey, you know I'm in this movie too. And you're like, what? Wait, what?
You're like, oh yeah, right, you.
And then
okay.
they go to Outworld proper,
which for no reason Raiden can't go in.
Yeah,
there's two instances in this movie where Raiden's not allowed in places, and I don't understand it. They go through this wormhole to go into the Outworld, and they're like, "Well, come on, Raiden." He's like, "No, I can't go with you." And they don't explain it.
I'll tell you why. All those nudalities.
I can't be 200 yards within Outworld.
But then the one that's more hilarious is at the kind of towards the front of the picture when they're going into the dining hall to have their orientation dinner. The door closes in Raiden's face. It like the big rolling stone doors closing, and it's just Raiden on the outside, like, I'll see you at dessert. And like the door closes on it.
Those fools are going to the dining hall. I know the good cuts of meat are at Baraka's butchery.
You know, it's actually a big bunch of bullshit that we never see a real Raiden fight.
Yes.
Like, yep. He kind of like fights with Scorpion and Sub-Zero briefly at the start, but that's it.
Most of that is him in the form of electricity just pushing them around.
Yes.
So it's not even Christopher Lambert fighting.
Which is what you want. You want that blind guy to just swipe wildly at things. And then Reptile shows up again, and
this is where he becomes human.
Yeah, he goes into a statue.
It's another kind of golem situation.
Yeah.
Did you know that Frank Welker did the voice of Reptile, among others?
Yeah, that's weird.
That guy, you can't keep him out of movies. No. If you need to make a pig sound, it's like, you know, Frank Welker would do it for $50. That's
why you get Welker. right there. Right,
you know,
there.
I'm going to see if for post I can get Welker to put in a pig noise when Steve just did that. You're right. That's why you get Welker.
So it's like Liu Kang like kicks this Lawnmower Man reject into like this mummified corpse.
Yeah.
And it like binds together. And then he turns into, like, you know, like a ninja that sort of looks like Sub-Zero or Scorpion, but
he's just
green.
Yeah.
And then there's just this voiceover, just so you know, Reptile.
It's so stupid. Like, We all get it. He got called Reptile at the beginning of the movie. We know what's going on. It looks like the Sobe logo.
Yeah.
That yes. Remember Sobe? Oh, yeah, the yeah, Sobe yeah. drinks? That's the kind of shit that Reptile looks like, you know?
Well, this is when Mom goes out to smoke cigarettes and start the car. Because just, you know what? It's not for me. It's you so, boys enjoy yourselves.
It makes no sense. Also, he never once spits acid as the ninja. He only spits acid at Liu Kang kind of earlier on in the film for 2 seconds.
As the Sobe mascot. Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, remember that like coconut drink they had? Oh, the coconut drink spit on me. So they fight. And what's stupid about they fight is Reptile knocks Liu Kang into this abandoned building. And he's with Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
Johnny Cage doesn't pursue to help out his buddy.
Well, Johnny Cage for some reason stops fighting after he fights Goro. Because like Liu Kang's the chosen one. And Johnny Cage is like, all right, I guess if Sonya's kidnapped, I'm just going to be your white buddy that forgets how to do karate, well, too.
In Johnny Cage's defense, he just killed a mythological monster.
Yeah, he really did do his part.
Yeah, I mean, that was a major baddie.
It was a major baddie. He just dispatched.
Yeah, I mean...
And Kitana's like, you want to go in that big house? Or like, Raiden's like, in Outworld, you'll find the guide in the most unusual of places. And they go to Outworld, and Katana's like, yo, you want to go in that big house and end the movie? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
I guess Outworld in itself is quite the unusual place.
Yeah.
So Raiden was being a little literal, I guess.
I wonder what the rent is like. I bet it's pretty good.
It's dirt cheap, dude. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
No, it's gentrifying, man. They've got a bunch of little coffee shops. A barcade is opening up in Outworld.
I can't believe it. Last month, Outworld got its first Starbucks. Something tells me it won't be its last.
I bet that would be like a Shang Tsung plot, is to buy up this slum property and like keep that portal open for like dragon boats for everyone. And now, you know, it cleans it up.
Well, as Katana explains, like this, like Outworld used to be a beautiful place and then Shang Tsung ruined it.
Yeah.
So
all of his goddamn policies, all of his liberal policies.
And Shang Tsung, that filthy liberal.
Yeah, they all went on welfare. All of the reptiles went on welfare.
And Shang Tsung gave everyone universal health care.
Now look at this war zone.
Just look around.
Thanks a lot, not having to pay to go to the doctor.
Now we're all just doing triumph.
I know, it's your fault. It's a slippery slope with these voices, Steve. You know that.
So we go into Shang Tsung's house.
After Liu Kang does a bicycle kick, by the way. I don't want to forget that. He bicycle kicks Reptile and kills
him. Almost all of the moves that they can show, they show, except for the really cool ones.
Except for the ones you wanted to see in
and
the
like,
movie.
For some reason, Sonya is dressed like she's in a fucking Aerosmith video. Like, someone feathers her hair at some point.
I never understand when this happens to kidnapped people in movies. I mean, it's only ladies.
Yeah, of course.
Like, all of a sudden, she's all done up. But she's tight. She's got her arms out. It's fucking Faye Ray.
But
I don't get it.
It's terrifying because it's like Shang Tsung ties her up. He's like, I'm going to make you look pretty. Yeah. I'm going to pretty you up.
I feel like this happened in another movie that we did an episode on, because this is real WHM deja vu right now.
It's just so stupid, because like right before they go into Outworld, you know, Raiden's like, oh no, he's kidnapping Sonya to challenge her and then win Mortal Kombat. And
for
you know,
me to poop on.
And, you know, Liu Kang asks him point blank, like, can she beat Shang Tsung? He's like, no.
What are you, crazy?
You know?
Are you blind like me? She's a woman.
And she, you know, ready to fight the whole world, the entire movie. And like Shang Tsung's like, all right, I'll stop treating you like a sex slave if you fight me. And she's like, no, I won't. It's like, why?
Just like, fucking fight
you
him.
You broke Kano's neck. He had a fucking robot eye.
Totally. You definitely pulled a Xenia on a top on that dude. And he's now that's one dead Australian. Look what you did 30 minutes ago. Just do it again to that sorcerer.
And, you know, this is the final fight. And it goes on. It's, you know, and you would think, like, okay, in most movies where you have a kind of a strong subcast, which Johnny Cage and Sonya are, Katana not so much, they would get into their own fights. Like maybe like Scorpion comes back. We're fighting lower level, cut up and
right,
down.
Right.
They literally just stand around and watch Liu Kang fight Shang Tsung.
That's it. You're so right. Like, and also, there are like the goons are still all over the place. Have them fight the goons.
Yeah, like Shang Tsung summons some of the souls he's swallowed.
Yeah.
That include everything from a samurai warrior to, I don't know, just some
Rex
dudes.
Reed shows up.
In a nice sweater.
I hate this.
I hate you so much, Liu Kang, I'm going to kick you.
This is tripe.
Get ready to get kicked.
And so, yeah, like, he fights these, like, ghosts first and beats them. And he's like, can we please fucking fight now? And not even at that time does Johnny Cage or Princess Katana step
or
in
Sonya.
And help out. Like, well, she's just tied up, and we're just not going to untie her until the end of the movie.
Princess Katana, where are your world-famous fan blades?
Knives. Yeah, she doesn't have those. Yeah, you're totally right.
Or how about a katana?
You know, an actual thing that you share a name with.
Yeah.
How about one of them?
I think her family invented it.
Yeah, and she's not dressed like Katana either. She's dressed like Lorenzo Lamas in Renegade throughout most of this movie, like a leather tank top and leather pants.
I would love it if the end of this movie she's like, thanks for saving Outworld, Liu Kang. And then she hops on a motorcycle and drives off into the desert.
Yes.
It would be amazing. A shitty guitar starts twanging.
I wonder what Renegade's up to nowadays.
Dude, he's traveling.
Yeah, I bet. But
we should pitch a Renegade reboot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Get the guy get Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that dude would be awesome at that. He's on some Sundance show right now, currently.
Doing well.
Sundance has shows?
You think so? Since he's doing a show at Sundance, he won't do my UPN show of Renegade, the reboot?
Well, you know, I think they're in between seasons on whatever that show's, like the Red Road or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. He would make an awesome Renegade. That's some brilliant fucking casting, though, honestly. Let's do it. Let's pitch Renegade reboot. I'm totally up for it.
Well, if you're listening, owners of the rights to Renegade...
How much do you want to bet Lorenzo Lamas has some stake in owning that character?
You think maybe Donald Sterling owns Renegade?
I bet.
Just like all the properties he has to give up.
I got to sell my fucking basketball team. Now I got to sell my fucking Renegade rights. It's unbelievable. That fucking Magic Johnson's running me right out of town. You know what, baby? Don't bring your Renegade friends around here anymore, okay? Stop bringing your Renegade friends to my fucking games, all right? And another thing, I don't appreciate all of them being in these Mortal Kombats. No. Jack stays at the dock. Stays at the dock. I'd get killed by Goro immediately. He could get on the boat because I hired him to stain my deck. But after that, he's getting killed by Goro. The fucking bullshit.
Any of all people who would have a deck in Outworld, it is Donald Sterling definitely has a mansion in Outworld.
That's where he's moving after the Clippers sell.
With his fucking $4 billion in his gentrification plot with Shang Tsung.
It's going to be nothing but condos here. And for nice people. Not your Instagram buddies. You know what the ones.
Baby, here's your juice. The weirdest part of that whole thing. Anyways.
So we're fighting Shang Tsung finally.
It's the best thing. It always happens when a character who's known to be a morpher like turns around and he turns into Liu Kang's brother. And the first thing he says is my favorite line of the whole movie. He's like, oh, Lou, it's me, Chang. And he's like, oh, thank God, Chang, you're alive. And it's like, come on. He's like, hey, remember when our parents died? He's like, yes. And you promised you'd always take care of me? And he's like, uh-huh. You're talking a lot like my brother would talk right now.
But he's like actually conned into it. You just saw this older Asian man morph into this child. How are you confused?
He was looking at you, and it was Shang Tsung looking at you. And then he went,
I think he sounds a little bit like this. And he turned around and he put his fist up to his face and waved his arms a little bit and then turned back around and he was your brother. And you still fucking fell for it, you idiot chosen one.
It's so ridiculous. And at least like Johnny Cage, I'm like, hey, Luke, that's definitely not your brother. I saw him when he turned around. I saw him morph.
It's understandable. You missed the morphing, but we saw it because we're down here doing nothing. Whatever. They fucking fight and he kills him.
He finally does a fireball, like we said earlier. It doesn't come from anywhere. It's not like Raiden's like, once he learns the power of the fireball, he will finally learn how to destroy Shang Tsung.
There's none of it. He just does it. It looks terrible. It's a really bad fireball because it's like close up, so it's not even a fireball shooting from across the room. And then he knocks him down into the pit. And of course, it's Mortal Kombat. We have to have a pit with spikes.
Yep.
Spikes come up from the floor.
Zero blood.
Zero blood. Absolutely zero blood.
And then he has to fight Donald Sterling, who is kind of like an E. Honda-esque figure.
Donald Sterling loses the fight, but somehow also gains $2 billion. I don't know how it works. He does everything wrong, but he somehow walks away with $2 billion.
Isn't that the Outworld for you? God damn. So then it's like, it's over with. They all come back and Raiden's like, you did a great thing. It's look at all like these happy children.
It's kind of the parade from the end of Phantom Menace a little bit. Like,
there's way too much fanfare for someone just winning Mortal Kombat.
A secret contest in a dimension far away.
It's like, I think like Raiden was the last one to get on the boat and he's like, no, no, I'll be with you in a minute. And then he turns around and he's like, okay, kids, when we come back to the dock, if I'm giving a thumbs up, it means we won Mortal Kombat. You have all the ribbons and streamers ready for my thumbs up, okay?
If you're all dead, that means we lost Mortal Kombat.
If four armed monsters come and start ripping your spines from your bodies, chances are we've lost Mortal Kombat. Then we definitely won't need all the streamers and fanfare.
If you see Donald Sterling instead of me, run for your life.
And this movie had the audacity to do a you're not going to believe this. Everybody's celebrating, and then all of a sudden, the sky turns purplish gray, which it does about 8 times in this movie.
Yep.
And a temple explodes. A temple that looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa explodes. And there's like a in-the-sky Shao Kahn, like, you've done it now, or whatever.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Yep, it's Frank Welker doing his Mr. Claw voice for no reason.
And
or Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, please. He didn't go to Claw Medical School.
And, and then they're just like, oh, okay. And then you hear fight, and they all do like a get ready to fight stance. Mortal Kombat theme song kicks back in. End of movie.
By the way, including Raiden doing the stance. Like, oh, whoa. If I come back for the sequel, I'll get to see Christopher Lambert fight.
No, you'll see James Remar fight.
Yeah, you sure will. Stay tuned for that sequel, FYI.
Yeah, I gotta see it. I'm excited. I didn't know James Remar was in it till last night.
It's a big hunk of dog shit.
That's fantastic news.
What's not dog shit is the soundtrack. Not the... Don't buy the movie soundtrack, because that's got like a bunch of Stabbing Westward on it and shit.
I counted it. Are you shitting me?
There's 4 Stabbing Westward songs. And speaking of counting...
I'm buying this thing.
They say Mortal Kombat 7 times in this movie. That's an official count, because Steve started watching it before I did, and he texted me and said, if you haven't started watching it yet, count from the beginning how many times they say Mortal Kombat. 7 fucking times. Can you imagine someone, you Brando, saying on the waterfront 7 times? It's ridiculous.
But we'll meet on the waterfront. It's over there by the waterfront.
We're going to have that meeting down on the waterfront.
Oh, by my dragon boat.
Would anyone recommend Mortal Kombat?
I would. It's a strong recommend, and the album by The Immortals, which features the Mortal Kombat techno song, which they did, and a bunch of other techno songs, it's the most hilarious album. It's the best comedy album. Take that, Richard Pryor. I've been on several road trips, and it's changed the course of all of them by me putting it on there. But this movie's a lot of fun. It's a really literal translation, which I like personally. Like, it's exactly the video game. It's in an hour and 30 minutes, you know? There's a 10-minute credit sequence, which is kind of nuts, but...
I mean, yeah, you're out of there in under 2 hours.
Yeah, you know what? I would recommend it as well. I actually was kind of surprised because, I mean, I saw this movie when it came out, and I was like, eh. And then I saw it on TV, like, you know, in the early aughts or something, and I was not having it.
Yeah.
But I will gladly have it in 2014. Nice. So I will recommend it.
I will recommend it, too. I think it falls into the nice category of a hangover movie. Yeah. Because the fighting is, like, just tame enough. There's no explosions or gunfire. But you can still just sit there and be like, okay, now we're fighting this person, and it's mildly entertaining. It keeps you going. That soundtrack is hilarious. I know whoever wrote that Mortal Kombat theme song has made millions of dollars off of it. And it's the funniest $1 million ever made. Take that, Steve Martin.
The Immortals. The band is the Immortals.
Have they done anything else?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, that's fantastic.
I think they're like some Swedish prog rock something or other.
Well, honestly, if you wrote that song, the royalties from it, you don't have to write another song again in your life. You open and close your show by playing Mortal Kombat, the song. Is it called just Mortal Kombat theme, or does it have a real sinister name to it?
I wonder. I don't know.
I guess we'll leave that for our follow-up episode on Mortal Kombat Annihilation someday. Oh, that's a question. Does that song appear in the second one?
It has to, right? I mean,
I think it would have to, right?
Yeah.
I think there would be a revolt if it wasn't.
I mean, I remember having a lot
of... I don't know, Outworld, maybe?
I was going to say, ain't it cool news message boards.
Oh, boy. That's like Outworld. It's the real dregs of every dimension.
That's Mortal Kombat from 1995, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. By the way, you guys, I realize AVP 2004.
Ooh.
Just saying.
Wow.
If you want more information about the show, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag. If you've ever seen a nudality get successfully pulled off, weallhatemovies @gmail.com. Rate and review this show in iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it. It increases the profile of our podcast all over the place. Wherever you get the show, if it's not iTunes, wherever, rate and review. We would greatly appreciate it. Pick up the app. Bonus episodes on there or on whmpodcast.bandcamp.com. If you are anti-app, that's okay.
Oh, and if you're catching up, you know, the rest of the guys did a thing on Mad Men. So if you're finally up to date on Mad Men, listen to them talk about Mad Men.
It's our thoughts, me, Steve, and Chris, on the first half of the final season of Mad Men. That show Mad Men, we're talking about all the Mad Men and Mad Women that are on there.
And I'll be doing jokes at Kano's Castaways down on the Bowery. It's a 2-drink minimum. And you have to get an appetizer. Yeah, I know. It's bullshit. I think so, too.
I recommend the coconut shrimp.
Blame It on Outer Space, our sister show, is running bi-weekly, hosted by Eric Siska. Blame It on OuterSpace.com, @BlameSpacePod on Twitter, Facebook.com/BlameItOnOuterSpace. Clue for next week's episode, which will be the third week of our summer blockbuster extravaganza. Eric Siska.
Halle Berry.
Oh, Halle Berry, you guys. Do with that what you will. Until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.